My friends, respect the pigeon. This is Weekday. Used to be considered a symbol of peace and fertility, critical components of wartime communication, critical components of cultural expansion, when people didn't even have horses, let alone Morse code or telegraphs or even good roads. Yet now people often consider them rats with wings. So how did the pigeon fall so far out of favor? Of course, I know many of you are looking out the window and are saying, oh, let me tell you. Well, we're going to delve into the world of the pigeon this hour, and you may never look at them the same way again. Andrew Bleckman is an award-winning journalist. He's worked for the Los Angeles Times, the Des Moines Register. His writing has appeared in a number of publications, including the Smithsonian Magazine and the New York Times. His new book is Pigeons, the Fascinating Saga of the World's Most Revered and Reviled Bird. Andrew Bleckman, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
You kind of stumbled into the world of pigeons.
Yes, I did. You know, it's funny, because I'm not an animal advocate, and I'm not even a bird person. This all came about accidentally. It started with the tuna fish sandwich. I was going to a corner store when I was living in Manhattan to get a tuna at the bodega, and a guy started talking to me in line, and he started talking to me about his pigeons. And he told me he raced his pigeons. I was like, come on. You're talking about the like pigeons in the park? No one races them. He goes, my birds are thoroughbreds. And he really caught my attention. And so I went out to his place to see them. And that was my first step into, like, kind of the magical and obsessive world of pigeons.
Who was that?
He was Orlando. He's in the book. He's a character in the book. And he's one of the top racers in New York City. And he has pigeons everywhere. I went out to his place in Brooklyn. He has a townhouse. He has pigeons on his roof. He has pigeons in his backyard, you know, both of them in loft cages. And he also has pigeons in a crawl space that he carved out between his bedroom ceiling and the roof as well. So he keeps a little chick. So he literally has pigeons sleeping right above his head. And, you know, the more I learned about them, they were beautiful birds. They were thoroughbreds. You know, and it didn't take long before I realized that the Queen of England races pigeons. And so did her father, so did her grandfather and great-grandfather. And that it's, you know, it's an historical sport. And these pigeons really just have an unparalleled history and just phenomenal athletic abilities.
Orlando is a fairly obsessed fellow when it comes to pigeons, to the point where his wife sort of shakes her head, and you paint a picture of somebody who doesn't spend a lot of time taking care of the other work business of life.
No. It's a very, you know, I mean, the book really is it's a romp through the world of pigeon obsession, you know, for better and worse, all these weird little subcultures, which is what I like to cover. And Orlando is utterly obsessed. I mean, he was a lot like a lot of the other folks I met. I met a guy in England who races against the Queen. And he'll run around his backyard in gym clothes with a whistle around his neck, you know, coaching his pigeons, instructing them what to do, almost like a soccer coach, and brewing them special teas that clears their nostrils. And, you know, Orlando will measure out the proteins and carbohydrates the night before a race. I mean, they're very much, if you remember the coach in Rocky, it's a lot like that.
You meet him, you start him at the beginning of his training for he wants to be the winner. He's wanted his birds to be the winner of the main event. What's the main event?
Well, the main event is, you know, it's interesting. Racehorses get all the glory. But, you know, in New York City, there's still, you know, the racing pigeons. And the main event is like their Kentucky Derby. Now, these races are typically 600 miles long. Now, these birds will fly 600 miles at 60 miles an hour without stopping for food, water, rest, nothing. Now, by comparison, a racehorse will run around a closed track for about a mile and a quarter at about 35 miles an hour. These birds don't even know where they're being released from. They've never been there before. I went on one of these races. Now, the way these birds work is this, and the way you race them. A homing pigeon does not go from A to B, but if you take it to B, it will always return to A. So what you do is you take all these birds in a truck, you ship them out on shipping night, and then they're all released together, maybe 600 miles away. This one was in West Virginia, believe it or not. They're released at dawn, and they fly back home, because that's what they do. They always return home. And the first one back is, you know, is the winner. And, you know, the pot there of money is maybe $15,000, $20,000. But there's actually international races that the Europeans compete in and the Taiwanese. And these races have a pot of $1 million. And these birds are worth tens of thousands of dollars at auction.
Where are they flying from?
They're flying from places like, there's one called the Barcelona So they're released in Spain, and they fly back to Belgium, Belgium and France, Germany and England. And, of course, the difference is there's going to be a varying in terms of the actual distance, but what they do is they average the bird's speed, and that's how they find out who the winner is.
The pigeon's ability to find their way back, you talked to a few scientists. What's your I realize that the scientists say it, in the book say, well, we don't know, but what's their idea of how birds can do that and how pigeons do it?
Yeah, the fascinating thing is, I mean, these are guys who spend their entire professional lives, and these are top guys, like at places like Cornell and stuff. And the fascinating thing is that they do say we don't know. But what they basically have come up with is this. First of all, the bird uses the sun and even the stars to navigate its way home. But check this out. A blindfolded pigeon will also find its way home. So a pigeon that we're talking a pretty small blindfold, I guess. But, I mean, you're talking
very tiny knots.
Little tiny knots, right? But, you know, a couple hundred miles from home, they'll still find a way home. And the question is, how do they do that? Well, they do that. They seem to have a second compass. And it's almost like an internal compass. And they sense the Earth's magnetic field. And what they're able to do is they're able to sense where they are on the magnetic poles and find their way home that way. Now, it's interesting. If there's a solar storm or sunspots, the birds will get lost. And they'll get home eventually, and they'll be using their sight and their smell. But there's a solar storm; it disrupts our Earth's magnetic field, and so you end up with birds heading in the wrong direction, all sorts of things. But they also have ultrasound. They're able to hear the wind travel over the Rockies from 2,000 miles away, which also helps place.
You know, Andrew Bleckman, you wrote this book, "Pigeons: The Fascinating Saga of the World's Most Revered and Reviled Bird." You just came across them, came across the story, and as a writer and a journalist, you followed it. How do you feel about them now? I mean, you come to people that are passionate about these birds.
Yeah, I know. It's like I said, it really is a romp through the world of pigeon obsession. You know, I didn't have much of an opinion about the birds when I started this. I really didn't. I didn't really care much about the pigeons. I basically looked right past them. You know, even when I was living in the city, I didn't dislike them. I didn't really think about them. At this point, what I've learned about them, it's hard to ignore them. I certainly will never look at the bird the same way again, and I've really come to admire the bird. Now, I mean, you've got to figure, this is a bird that for 10,000 years was one of mankind's very best friends. It was domesticated right around the same time as the dog, and it served us loyally all through history. It's only in the last maybe five decades that we've basically turned on it, and we turned into a war of attrition. But if you go back far enough, I mean, these birds were delivering messages up and down the Nile about flood levels with ancient Egyptians. They were also delivering results from the first Olympics to the villages in 776 B.C. I mean, these birds, 2,500 years later, it was a pigeon who brought the results of Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo back to London. Julius Reuter started an entire news-gathering industry, his whole empire, on the backs of pigeons. He was filling in a gap where there was no telegraphic wire between Belgium and Germany. All the news coming from both sides would bottleneck. And news is a commodity. You know, he who has it first wins. And Reuters won because he used pigeons. I mean, until this time in history, the fastest way to get anything anywhere was either on foot. And you saw the marathon runner, right? The guy who brought the news of the Persian defeat to Athens. It took him most of the day, and he died. It would have taken a pigeon about 20 minutes. And the other thing would be a horse. You know, which is somewhat fast, but not that fast. You can't keep a horse galloping indefinitely like you can a pigeon, really. So pigeons were able to bridge this gap for thousands of years for us. I mean, 1 million pigeons, literally 1 million pigeons, served in World War I and World War II and saved thousands of our boys' lives. You might have read about the story of Cher Ami. I mean, it's just an unbelievable story about this bird that saved hundreds and hundreds of American boys who were utterly trapped in World War I.
The Lost Battalion.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Lost Battalion, exactly. Now World War I was the trench warfare. It was, you know, of all wars, it was even, like, worse than your average war. It was just a miserable, miserable war, a miserable, miserable front, the Western Front. But basically, a battalion of our boys they broke through the lines, and they were, you know, charging towards the enemy, but then they got caught behind the enemy lines, and they were basically getting annihilated by the Germans. And then things got worse. We started bombing them with our own artillery, and basically they were getting annihilated. And they had three pigeons. You know, the only way to get a word back to headquarters saying, basically, please stop bombing us and please rescue us, was by pigeon. And they sent the first one up, and it was shot right down. They sent the second one up, and it got a little higher, and then it was shot down by a German sniper. And then there was one left, and that was it. I mean, that was it. And it was cher ami, which is French for dear friend. And he was just a little pigeon. We're talking about a pound of flesh and feathers. And they tied a note to his ankle, and they let him go. And cher ami started climbing, and then he was shot down in a barrage of bullets. But as he, like, tumbled towards earth, at some point before he hit, you know, pluck or valor or what have you, he actually started flapping his wings again, and he was able to make it out of gunshot, and within 20 minutes he was back at headquarters. Now, when they found saw him land at headquarters, he was missing an eye, his cranium had been broken open, his breastbone had been ripped open, and the message was dangling from what was left of his leg, which was literally just tendons, but the message was there. So they got the message, and they ran it to the commanding officer, and the artillery fell silent. Now, cher ami, believe it or not, survived this, and he was sent back on a troop carrier by General Pershing. He was actually giving General Pershing's berth on the troop carrier across the Atlantic, and he was a decorated war veteran, received the French cross, you know, the military cross, as well as several American honors and British honors.
Andrew Bleckman, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Andrew Bleckman's book is Pigeons, the Fascinating Saga of the World's Most Revered and Reviled Birds. This is Weekday.